OK, now, controversial plans for a major housing development at St. Dan's Park has been resubmitted by the developer, despite the fact that the previous permission was overturned. And I'm now joined by newly elected councillor Donna Cooney from Green Party to tell us more about it. Good morning, Donna, and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Johnny. Thanks for having me on again.
No, you're most welcome. Would it be correct to say, Donna, that one of the main concerns for locals is the sheer size of the proposed development, very much in high density for more than, I think it's 530 apartments?
Yeah, well, the concern, I think, is the location. I don't think people have a particular concern with high density because high density building is going to be needed in the city if we're not going to use up all our green space and provide enough homes. But basically, this is on playing fields, which is a well-reused resource by the community, and also one of the most significant habitats for Brent geese. So it's what we consider as part of St. Anne's Park, and you know, a very well used resource. And Brent geese, pale-bellied Brent geese, and the children of North Dublin have been cohabitating, using that ferry, coexisting very well on that those fields for generations. And so the concern is that of the location of where it is, there's plenty of brownfield sites, there's plenty of residential zoned lands in the city, and this particular site, this particular application was rejected by Dublin City Council when it went straight to the strategic housing planning and board Pinola, but they look for recommendations and input and consultation with Dublin City Council, and the recommendation from the executive was that they would refuse it. But it was given permission. It was then taken, a judicial review was taken by the campaign to prevent it. And what happened then was that it was sent back to board Pinola, who reviewed it and overturned their earlier decision, and now it's actually then the developers have taken a judicial review themselves, and while that's ongoing, at the same time they have put in for a pre-planning application, and at this stage there isn't any consultation or anything. They're basically, they've applied to on board Pinola, and it goes into this pre-planning stage where they do. Well, they do consult, say, with the executive, but not with the residents and not with the elected representatives. So it's a very undemocratic way of doing things. And then it's then at the end of July, if the decision is to go ahead, it would then go out for us to make submissions, and we go through the process again. But I mean, it's looking as if it did get permission, it's really at the worst time possible in terms of. This is when the wintering birds will return, and when all the season of football and everything goes back onto the fields as well. So
yes, I understand. And there are bats also, yeah. Bats, badgers, and other wildlife in the vicinity that would
there
be
are,
affected
yeah,
by
yeah,
the
and
development.
Some of those
yeah.
types, of, yeah. And those bats would actually be protected as well under EU Habitats Directive as well. So they would be a protected species, as are the Brent geese. And it's an important habitat. And you're adding in, well, at the moment, there's no unnatural artificial light in that area of the park. And then by building on it, you are introducing artificial light into what is, you know, a dark place at the moment, you know, at night, so it's light pollution, so any of the nocturnal animals that would affect, you know.
Yes. How different are the resubmitted plans compared to the initial plans overturned?
Well, we haven't, as I said, they haven't gone out to public view yet, so all we know is the number, all I know is from what, you know, had been contacted on board Pinola, and that it seems to be similar, but we haven't actually seen or been able to study the plans. You know, so that won't happen until the end of July. So we're really, you know, we don't suspect that there's any difference in terms of the density of the development.
Okay, is it true that the development will only be for rented apartments at an expensive price?
Oh, we don't know that. All we know is that there is a precedent for this particular developer to sell off plan to investment companies who invest in the rental market here, and they would be, you know, foreign companies, so that they don't pay any taxes then on their rental income. So that seems to be the model that is favoured by these particular developers. But we wouldn't know that for, you know, we wouldn't be party to that information. All we can go on is what they've done previously. And, you know, so that does seem to be something that they favour doing.
Yes, I understand. The developer, yeah. Mr. Crean, he made a comment. He said it was a stark and tragic irony that homeless people were sleeping in the park next to his site. Yet, at the same time, seriously, the development would be way out of their league in terms of affordance. Oh, yeah. What's your view?
Yeah, they would be. I mean, there's a possibility that they'd say 10% affordable. When you talk about affordable, it's not really affordable. They're talking about affordable at, like, you know, less than the market value. And they're talking about maybe selling them to Dublin City Council. Dublin City Council still have to buy them at 400,000-500,000, you know, at 10% of this particular thing. You know, I say, oh, got to be one bedroom. You know what I mean? And they tended to be able to get out of those commitments as well. Whereas now with the new Dublin agreement, we do have, you know, we will have a policy, housing policy now, an agreement with the majority and hopefully all of the councillors who will support a housing policy for Dublin City Council for the next 5 years, which will look at us actually building social and public housing, and we favour the Vienna model of housing, which will be cost rental, which will provide housing for very much needed housing for homeless and for everybody that can't afford. You know, there are so many people that actually cannot afford the rent, can't afford to move out of home. You know, they're not homeless, but they're living at home as adults, and not, you know, being able to live their lives as they should. You know, this has happened in one generation, where people in, like, one generation ago were able to buy a house or get a council house, you know, on ordinary pays, as, you know, as a tradesperson or whatever, they were able to get a house. And now in one generation, you've got people, you know, highly educated that can't afford to rent in our city.
Yes, the hidden homeless, in other words. And the decision, yeah, I believe, is expected from the board by, I think, 25th of July next?
That is when they go for the full open in terms of consultation. So, you know, it's after that, then there's a 5 week time frame. So it'll be decided whether they go forward with the application at that point. This is in pre-application. So it's unusual, this form, because it doesn't take the normal form of planning applications when it goes through a board panel under the strategic strategic housing. It's a different sort of form, you know. So basically they go to this pre-planning stage and then it's planning stage, and it's only then that we actually get to see the full details of the plans.
Right, I understand. Right, on a better note, congratulations, Donna, again on your success in the local elections. Yeah, you were elected on first count with 2,840 votes, and the second highest number of votes in your electorate area. So you must be absolutely delighted.
I'm absolutely delighted. I felt I was getting a good response. I knew I'd put in a lot of hard work, but there have been so many times where, you know, I'd been disappointed and not got in. And I felt at this time, I felt like, oh gosh, you know, it's climate change coming up the door. People are telling me they're voting for me. And, you know, I really felt I'd get it, but I was thinking, like, you know, I'd need every single vote. It'll be the last one. So I was overwhelmed with the amount of votes, and, like, so very, very grateful to every single person that voted for me. And, to actually get in on the first count with the surplus, I really wasn't expecting that. And it was, you know, but I think with that comes a huge responsibility. There's 10 of us now on Green Party councillors in Dublin City Council. We're the bar one with the second biggest group. We formed an alliance. We have, we're calling it our Dublin Agreement for the next 5 years. Top of that agenda is climate change and housing, transport. you know, cycling and making Dublin a real livable city for the citizens. So we have a huge, you know, responsibility now, I think, to bring about real positive change in our city. And, you know, so it's just, yeah, so really, you know, really excited to get working on that. But I do also feel like it's, you know, it's a big responsibility and we just can't let down the people that voted for us and gave us their trust to do this.
Right. And going forward, I guess the major issues you're going to be focusing on will be mainly environmental, climate and local issues?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, we're straight in. We had the pre-plan. We also had the sewage leak and the Dollymount ban. You know, we have a big swim on this Sunday that I'm involved in with the, you know, it's a group of sea swimmers. So we had a Bloomsday swim with, I think there's over 700 people interested in swimming on Sunday, you know, in the evening when the tide is in at half nine on Sunday. And we were, you know, that was basically effectively a swimming ban. Thankfully, that was lifted only yesterday. But, you know, it's happening far too frequently. So it's about protecting our sea environment. We, you know, we're going to have issues in terms of the flooding. So, you know, we've quite a lot to do. We've got Fellow City coming up, so the biggest cycling conference. And, in fact, we had a civic reception. My first official duty, I turned up on my bicycle, my Dutch bicycle outside the Mansion House, but actually nowhere to park it, ironically, and just in time for there was a civic reception for the King and Queen of the Netherlands there. And he mentioned in his speech about, you know, how important cycling was, that in Holland they have every person, there's 1.5 bicycles per person in Holland. That's how much they love their bicycles. And he gave a bicycle stand, you know, a little model of it, but a lovely bicycle stand that he's giving to the city, you know. So, and he said he'd really enjoyed the Velo City conference last time round, and he saw that we were having this, and he was really, you know, encouraging on the fact that, you know, that we are becoming much, you know, that we are increasing our cycling here. And he was talking about the benefits of it for a city, for a living city, you know. So
actually, I'd love to see Dublin going in the same direction.
And we had a conversation about health with him as well.
Really?
He said, you know, that they had the two-tier system there as well, where they had private insurance and then the public insurance, and that the private insurance people were getting better care. So they basically gave everybody private insurance, every single citizen. So they all get excellent care.
Excellent.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I just said, like, that's another thing is that we'd like to take, you know, copy you as well, you know, and that's something with our universal healthcare system we really need to look at, you know, at imitating. There's so much we can take from our European neighbours. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, per se. We can take the cycling infrastructure from them. We can take their health system as well, you know, because absolutely excellent. No tier, you know, no two tiers. It's like a, you know, an absolutely equal society like that, where everybody gets access to healthcare. And, you know, and then obviously, I suppose there's an incentive then that there's much more about, you know, prevention of bad health. You know what I mean? In terms of, you know, making sure that you do have a healthy city, that people are eating healthily, that people can get exercise and get out and about, and that they're safe on their roads as well with the segregated cycling. So there's so much, you know, in terms of mental and well-being as well, of having good green public spaces that we can go to, that we can enjoy, and then good housing, you know, good warm housing that you know, that keeps your population healthy and well, you know.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Right, so we're going to leave it at that, Donna, because I know you have a meeting coming up in the next few minutes.
Thanks, so busy, yeah.
Yeah, so thanks again for joining us today, and all the very best to you, and take care and have a great
weekend.
Johnny.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All the best. Now, that was Donna Cooney, Councillor Donna Cooney from Green Party. She was talking about the resubmission of the plans to onboard Planola for a new development at St. Anne's Park.